Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today. From God's Holy Word, I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel Radio. Glad to have you aboard with us today. Hope you can stay with us right on through the day as we present to you wonderful teaching from God's Word and the best in gospel music, music of the gospel, Christmas music and gospel music that will present Jesus. That's our goal, to present Jesus. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and then to God's Word for His good word for us today. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful love. Thank you for this very special time that we look to the birth of Jesus Christ, that we rejoice in His coming to this earth. And Father, thank you for your wonderful plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross and being obedient to the Father all the way to the point of death, taking upon yourself our sin, the sin of the whole world, paying for it there upon the cross with your life and with your blood. Thank you that you completed the job there on the cross. Thank you that you finished it. You even said, "It is finished." And at that point, you gave your spirit to the Father. You laid down your life. Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for being our teacher, for giving us this word that we call the Holy Bible. Thank you for living in us as our comforter, as our teacher, as our guide, as the seal upon our lives. And Holy Spirit, today, as we open your word, we ask for you to be our teacher. May the words I say not be my own, but may they be yours. May they be yours, Holy Spirit, spoken through me for our edification, for the glory of God our Father, and for the lifting of the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us, and turn in your Bibles, if you will, with me to Acts. And we're going to be looking for a short time today at Acts chapter 11. And remember, we've been talking about the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Peter bringing the gospel message to the house of Cornelius, the Gentile. And remember how God had to work with Peter, showing him that vision of the animals in the sheet lowered from heaven. And the commandment to Peter to arise, kill, and eat. And at first he, no, this is not something I do. I'm a good Jew. These animals are all unclean. I will not do it. And the angel said, what God has called clean, what He's declared clean, don't you, Peter, don't you declare unclean. Don't you say it's unclean when God has declared it clean. So this was the method God was using with Peter to show him that the Gentiles would be included in the gospel. And of course, on the other end, the angel had appeared to Cornelius, and Cornelius had sent the messengers to find the Apostle Peter in Joppa. And just after this vision that Peter had, there was a knock on the door, and there the visitors were, explaining that Cornelius had sent them. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, if you recall. So Peter went, and he took six of his brethren with him as witnesses, and that was a smart thing for him to do. He went with them back to the house of Cornelius and entered the house. And Cornelius had assembled all of his family, all of his relatives, all of his friends. Cornelius had brought into that place. And Peter began sharing the gospel with him. And before he was finished, before he could get done, the Holy Spirit fell upon them all. All of them were saved. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The whole house of Cornelius, his relatives, his friends, were saved gloriously. Peter saw this. The witnesses that came with Peter saw this. So Peter then said, surely we cannot deny these men, these people, these men, women, and children that were assembled. We cannot deny them baptism. and welcome them into the family of God and treat them as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So then, of course, Peter had to go back to Jerusalem. In chapter 11, that's where we find Peter explaining to the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea about what happened at the house of Cornelius. First, he had to defend himself for going there and explain to them that in a trance, in chapter 11, verse 5, I was in Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision and a certain object come down from the like a great sheet lowered by the four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And he went ahead and explained to them this vision and about the what God declares clean, don't you say it's unclean. He explained to them that it happened the second time and the third time. And just after that, here's these three men from Cornelius. In other words, God's orchestrating this. God's working on both ends of this equation to bring it together. God's working with Cornelius. God's working with Peter. In verse 12, Peter says, "And the Spirit told me to go with them without misgiving. And these six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here.' And Peter says, 'I went.' And in verse 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If God therefore gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in God's way?" Oh, Peter realized that this was God working. This was God working. And as he explained all of this to his brethren, to the apostles and the elders at the church in Jerusalem, verse 18 says, "And when they had heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, 'Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life.'" So this was a monumental step. We can't overstress how important this is. This early church in Jerusalem, made up of the apostles who were Jews, made up of Jews within the church primarily, they came to an understanding here that God had the gospel for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. In other words, it was for the whole world. Now, this is not quite the end of the matter, you see, but it's certainly a great step forward in the understanding of the early church that the gospel was for everyone, for everyone. Now, after this, in fact, verse 19 in chapter 11, "Then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now there was a great revival in Antioch, so much so that the apostles sent Barnabas to Antioch to check it out." Verse 22. "And then Barnabas saw what was happening, saw it was of the Lord, and I think realized that he needed some help, and he left to go get Saul," who was back in Tarsus now. Now, Saul had been quite a long time since he'd been converted now. And Saul had immediately begun preaching in Damascus, and he caused such a furor that the Jews in Damascus were going to kill him. So the believers in Damascus had to lower him down over the city wall in a basket so he could escape. He went into Arabia, stayed there for 3 years, and was taught of the Lord, he said later. He would say later in Galatians for that three-year period of time, and then went back home to Tarsus. And it had been a total of 9 years. 9 years had passed. He had been in Tarsus for 6 years. And Antioch, or rather, Barnabas remembered him. Barnabas was, I think, prompted of the Holy Spirit. Now, go get Paul. Go get Saul. Go get Saul, who's going to be called Paul later. So Barnabas goes to Tarsus. And in verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, from this point forward, the center of the church switches to Antioch. It's no longer in Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem, the persecution of the Jews and the Romans, the persecution of the Jews primarily, persecution of the Jewish leaders, of the members of the church of Jerusalem, was so great and so intense that they were scattered. They left. They escaped with their lives in many instances, going to other places. So the church in Jerusalem was scattered somewhat, greatly scattered, and went into other places. And some of these went down to Antioch and began preaching to the Greeks or to Gentiles. And there was a great, great revival. And Barnabas was sent down to check it out. And he saw God was really at work. He went to get Saul then to help him. And both of them came back, and for a year they taught there in the church at Antioch. Now, if we move on now over to chapter 13, we find now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mahan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. There were quite a number, you see, of leaders and teachers in the church at Antioch. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So here is the church at Antioch, fasting and praying in verse 3, laying their hands upon Barnabas and Saul and sending them forth on the first missionary journey. So the first missionary journey to the world, so to speak, the known world at that time, Barnabas and Saul were sent out on the prompting of the Holy Spirit from the church at Antioch. Now, if we move on over to chapter 15, we see where Saul and Barnabas had to defend themselves and defend their action, and that action being to take the gospel to the world, to these other cities, many of them primarily Gentile cities, you see. In chapter 15, "And some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue." So again, here is Paul and Barnabas in this instance, having to go up to Jerusalem to defend their action, actually, to the church. You see, the leadership of the church, the apostles, are still in Jerusalem primarily. So Paul and Barnabas go up to Jerusalem in verse 6, "And the apostles and elders came together to look into this matter. And after they had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them," now here's Peter. And remember, Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius, and he's going to draw on that. And he says, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Now that's, of course, the house of Cornelius. "And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us also." So Peter is standing and defending the work of Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Paul at this point in time, in taking the gospel to basically Gentiles. It was the Gentiles who were responding to the gospel message by and large in these cities where Paul and Barnabas were going. Now, let me point out that it was the custom. In fact, we see in Acts, it was the custom of Paul to go into the synagogue, first of all, when he went into a city. Now, he was a Jew. Barnabas was a Jew. They went into the synagogue and was delivering the message first there. And often they would be put out of the synagogue, so much so that finally Paul just shakes the dust off of his feet and says, from this point forward, I will go to the Gentiles. And Paul becomes known as the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, even though Peter was used to take the gospel message to the house of Cornelius, Paul later will say that Peter was basically the apostle, the messenger to the Jews. I was the messenger to Gentiles. Remember when Saul was converted, in that conversion experience, in the blinding light that appeared to him, and Jesus spoke out of that Shekinah glory and said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, Saul. And Saul realized that this was truly God, that this Jesus was truly God. And he repented, and he became a strong advocate, a strong spokesperson for the gospel then, whereas he had been a strong spokesperson for Judaism and for the law of Moses, so to speak. Now, Peter then is standing here in verse 8 of chapter 15. He's explaining, now remember, he's saying, remember the situation where I was called by God to go to the house of Cornelius? Remember what happened there? The Holy Spirit fell upon them all. And remember how I came and reported it to you, and you concluded that this was of God, and you were glorifying God, and you came to the conclusion that God was taking the message to the Gentiles. Basically, they have to do this all over here. And Peter says in verse 9, and he, that is God, made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. In other words, the same way that he does to us. And then in verse 11, he says, but we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way as they are also. And all the multitude kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. And after they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, brethren, listen. Now, by this point in time, James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, by the way, not James the Apostle, but James the half-brother of Jesus, had become the leader, so to speak, of the church at Jerusalem. So it was James who stood and spoke, and he said, brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. And with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, in order that the rest of the mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called in my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from old. That's quoting from the Old Testament, from Amos. And then he says in verse 19, James speaks, therefore it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood. For Moses, from ancient generations, has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it seemed good to the apostles and elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. And they sent this letter by them. Now this is the letter that the church leaders at Jerusalem sent to the church at Antioch. And here's the content of it. the apostles and brethren who are elders, to the brethren, see the brethren, they call them brethren, in Antioch and Syria and Sicily, who are from the Gentiles, greetings to you. Since we have heard that some of our number to you, whom we gave no instruction, have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls. Now, they're referring there to those Judaizers that had come in the beginning there of chapter 15, and some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And, of course, Paul and Barnabas disagreed with them and debated them violently. So they're saying, the church is saying to their brethren in Antioch, since we have heard that these Judaizers have come giving you instructions that you must be circumcised, unsettling your souls, it seems good to us, having become of one mind, we've decided this in unity, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. Farewell. So no mention there of circumcision, of course, no mention of the various laws of Moses, but they wanted them to stay away from idols, to stay away from things sacrificed to idols, to stay away from fornication, which, of course, is certainly sin. And it says, if you keep yourselves free from these things, you will do well. Farewell. So they basically gave their blessing. The church leaders at Jerusalem gave their blessing to the leaders and to the church at Antioch, which was primarily a Gentile church. Now, the leaders, those who were teaching, were Jewish in their background, but of course had become Christian and were teaching the gospel and preaching the gospel to those in Antioch. And the church in Antioch began to grow, and it became the very large church and the center of Christianity, and they were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, verse 30 and following, so when they were sent away, that is the messengers that came and delivered this message, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of the encouragement. And Judas and Silas also, being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. And after they had spent time there, they were sent away from the brethren in peace to those who had sent them out. In other words, they returned to Jerusalem, having delivered the message and having spent time and fellowshipping with the church at Antioch. But it seemed good to Silas to remain there. So Silas didn't go back. Silas remained at Antioch, probably because he wanted to teach and preach there in Antioch. He saw a great opportunity. But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others also the word of the Lord. And then in verse 36, we have the record of the beginning of the second missionary journey. And of course, Paul and Barnabas disagree primarily on John Mark, who went with them on the first journey and of course left and came back home. And Paul was really upset about it. Barnabas wanted to forgive him and to take him on the second missionary journey. Paul would not have it. And the disagreement was so sharp among Paul and Barnabas that they separated. And on the second and third missionary journey, Silas was one of the men who came down from Jerusalem to deliver the message. And remember in verse 34, it says, but it seemed good to Silas to remain there. In other words, to stay in Antioch. And consequently, Silas becomes the partner of Paul on the second and third missionary journeys. Now, we're told that Barnabas took John Mark and they went on a missionary journey also. But of course, Luke, who is the writer of Acts, follows Paul and goes with Paul, so we have a record here in Acts of the missionary journeys of Paul and Silas, missionary journey number 2 and missionary journey number 3. We have many missionary journeys made by others, you see. We have a record of those being scattered from the church in Jerusalem, going into many other cities, and even going back to the day of Pentecost, remember, when the 120 came down out of that upper room, they spoke to men and who were there from many, many nations. Jews who had come back to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Pentecost. And remember, they heard in their own language the message of the gospel. There was a hearing in tongues, if you will, on the day of Pentecost. And they, of course, took the message back. Philip, teaching and preaching to the official in the government that was going back, you see, to his home country. Remember, he met him on the road and he baptized him after the official gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are those going all over the world taking the gospel. In many instances, Paul and Barnabas and then Paul and Silas going into these cities would see a small church. There would already be a small church there. There would be a small set of believers already there, already having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in many instances, their understanding was incomplete. So it was necessary for Paul and Barnabas or Paul and Silas to teach further and to correct further their messages. And their understanding and their faith. So teaching and instruction, of course, is critical. It's important for us to grow in our understanding of the gospel, to grow in our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God the Father. And this is the purpose of the teaching and of the preaching. And that's the purpose today, my friend, of the teaching and preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his birth, his virgin birth, his life upon this earth, his ministry upon this earth, his going to the cross, his payment of sin there upon the cross with his life and his blood, the body taken down, placed in the tomb, on the third day raised by the power of the Holy Spirit, having appeared over a 40-day period to many different men who witnessed Jesus' resurrection, and on the 40th day ascending to the Father from the Mount of Olives, and then on the 50th day, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, to really birth the church there in Jerusalem. Remember on that day thousands were added to the church there in Jerusalem. And then those who heard the message and believed went back to their home areas and told them what they know and what they knew, what they understood. They told them, of course, about Jesus, about this one that had come from God, this one who was God, who came and paid sin's debt and preached Jesus and preached believing in Jesus and receiving Jesus and receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This was the early church, and this is the church today. That hasn't changed, my friend. The same thing must happen today. We must believe in Jesus, not just about him. We must receive him into our heart and into our life. He must be our Savior. He must be our Lord. We look to him to guide and to be Lord of our lives and to govern our lives, if you will. Those who are led by the Spirit, Paul said in Romans, do the things of the Spirit. Those who are led by the flesh do the things of the flesh. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Those who are truly the children of God shall have the fruits of the Holy Spirit evident in their lives, love and joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. Those are the fruits that we can identify a fellow Christian with. Those wonderful, blessed fruits of God and of the indwelling Holy Spirit. So here we have the gospel going to the Gentiles. And from that time forward, the church has been predominantly a Gentile church. Yet Jews are welcome. In fact, Jesus came first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. You see, he presented himself first to the Jews there in Jerusalem. On Palm Sunday, he presented himself as their king, as their Messiah. They rejected him as a people and as a nation. How about you? Have you accepted him as your personal Savior and your Lord? I trust that you have, my friend. This is the gospel, and this is a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.